Cognitive behavioral therapy, which was developed by Aaron Beck and colleagues, originally for the treatment of depression, and then later they found that the same exact techniques work for anger, anxiety, pain management, a variety of different conditions, looks at the role that thinking plays in the creation of experience, of emotion, of behavior. And what Aaron Beck discovered was that by statistically analyzing the thinking patterns of depressed individuals, they were able to identify 10 cognitive distortions or 10 patterns of thinking that caused almost all negative emotional reactivity that was excessive. These are 10 patterns of thinking that basically distort our perception of reality, thus making it excessively negative, producing intense or excessive anxiety, excessive sadness or depression, and excessive anger or frustration. The first type of cognitive distortion is called all or nothing thinking. Sometimes this is also called black and white thinking or dichotomous thinking. This type of thinking involves looking at something as being either all good or all bad. For example, if my performance falls short of being perfect, I think it's a total failure. What happens when people think with all or nothing thinking is that they see things as being either all good or all bad. There's no kind of shades of gray, or they don't kind of acknowledge that, you know, it's some of it was good, some of it was not so good. What they tend to do is live in a world of extremes. And so either they're doing very well or they're, you know, doing perfectly, or everything is horrible. And that kind of thinking is distorted because it doesn't accurately represent reality. Things are not usually all good or all bad. It's a mixture of things. And so if my thinking is excessive and distorted, then my feelings will also be excessive or distorted. The second type of cognitive distortion is called overgeneralization. And this is when an individual sees a single negative event as a never-ending pattern of defeat. So if you've had some failing at something in the past, or if you have failed at something in the past, you believe that there's no use in trying again because you're only going to fail. The person overgeneralizes from one experience of failure or negativity into thinking it's going to continue to be like that forever. So they make an overgeneralization from a failure that they've had or some kind of experience. The third type of cognitive distortion is called a mental filter or mental filter. This type of thinking involves focusing on negative things so much that they become the only things that the individual thinks about. When an individual focuses so much on negative things, his or her vision of reality becomes darkened, like the drop of ink that discolors the entire beaker of water. We tend to find that which we look for. So if I'm always looking at things in a depressive light, or always thinking about my failings, you know, people will have habits so that all they think about are the negative experiences that they have in their lives. And their minds become almost like attuned to the negative. Maybe somebody is particularly sensitive to rejection. So they happen to kind of scan people's faces until they see somebody who might be disapproving of them. And they actually think that everybody might be like that, or that's, they pay attention to those things more than others. A lot of people will make mistakes when they're talking or stutter or forget, you know, make a little bit of an awkward comment in a conversation, but they don't pay attention to it. Somebody with a mental filter, that's all they're paying attention to. They're filtering out of their experience all of these negative things. The fourth type of cognitive distortion is called disqualifying the positive. This type of thinking occurs when an individual thinks that the good things in life don't count. If they do notice positive things, or if people comment on something positive, they have a way of discounting it. So they might say that, you know, well, their friends like them, but they don't count for whatever reason. That what really matters is that certain people don't like them, or that certain experiences are negative. So they basically will overlook their strengths or discount them. They'll discount positive comments or even feedback from things like test taking or from grades. And they'll basically act as if those positive patterns don't really matter, which means that they're not accumulating an understanding of the positive things in their life. They discount them. So the positive impact that those things would have on their emotion and on their lives, they don't have those impacts because they get disqualified. And so they disqualify the corrective feedback that they could obtain in their life by disqualifying the importance of those events or those positive characteristics or experiences or whatever that might be. The fifth type of cognitive distortion is called jumping to conclusions. And there are two types of jumping to conclusions. One is mind reading and the other is called the fortune telling error. Jumping to conclusions happens when an individual makes a negative interpretation or judgment, even though there aren't really facts that support that conclusion. The first type of jumping to conclusion would be mind reading. And this is when an individual assumes that they know what other people are thinking. So they assume that someone is thinking negatively of them, even though they don't actually know that. Maybe they're looking at a facial expression, or they're reading into a comment that the person made. Or maybe somebody cancels plans for the evening and the person thinks to themselves, yeah, I know it's because they don't like me. They don't really know that, but they're making that assumption. So they fill in the blanks with all of this negative thinking and assume people don't like them. People are judging them. One example would be a woman that when she would get on the bus, she said that people would stare at her like she had the word freak tattooed on her forehead. And what I mentioned to her was, have you ever noticed what people do on a bus? Every time somebody gets on the bus, what do? Everybody looks up at whoever's getting on the bus. They might not think anything, but she interpreted everybody looking at her when she got on the bus as evidence that everybody thought she was weird or had freak tattooed on her forehead, when in fact, it was just kind of a habit that everybody had of looking at whoever got on the bus. And after that session, she came back the next time and said, you're right. I notice everybody looks at people getting on the bus. And so now when they look at me, she said, not only do I know that they look at everybody getting on the bus, but she goes, even if they did think I was a freak, who cares? That what they think is not the most important thing anyways. Now, the other type of jumping to conclusion is the fortune telling error. And this is when an individual predicts the future and predicts that things are going to turn out poorly. Now, they don't really have that evidence, but they basically anticipate or predict that in the future things will turn out badly and feels convinced that their prediction is an already established fact. The sixth type of cognitive distortion is called catastrophizing. Catastrophizing is basically when somebody turns something that's not a catastrophe, or they think that something that's not a catastrophe is a catastrophe. They basically turn something into a full-blown catastrophe when in reality it is not. This type of thinking involves using words like horrible or terrible to describe an event. It also makes problems look like they're bigger than they really are. Sometimes people will say things like, I can't stand it. Catastrophizing is when you think something is a full-blown catastrophe when in reality it is not. It makes problems seem like they're bigger than they are, and it makes us seem like we're smaller because we don't think we can handle it. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. Many things are unfortunate, unpleasant, undesirable. I would prefer them not to be that way, but it's not really a catastrophe. If it doesn't end up on the evening news, it's probably not deserving of the title catastrophe. So basically what we do is we magnify the importance of some event and make it seem like it's the end of the world. And just saying things like I can't stand it makes it seem a lot worse than it is. And if I think I can't stand it, I'm going to feel like I can't stand it. It's interesting. If I use the words horrible or terrible, those two words are derived from the words horror and terror. So unless it actually would qualify as a Friday the 13th movie, it probably isn't actually horrible or terrible. And what we want to do is be mindful that it isn't just what's happening that's disturbing or distressing us. It's how we talk about it. And when I have an exaggerated way of thinking about something, I'm going to have an exaggerated emotional response. Our emotional responses mirror our thinking. And so if my thinking is exaggerated, my emotional reaction is going to be exaggerated. Sometimes people will say, well, to me, it is that bad. And that's part of the problem. As long as I keep looking at it the way I look at it, I'm going to continue to have the same emotional reaction. If I want to have a different reaction, I want to bring my thinking in line with reality so that I have a proportionate way of thinking about things that's in perspective and that mirrors reality instead of a distorted, excessive emotional reaction that comes from my distorted, exaggerated way of thinking about the problem. We all use cognitive distortions in our lives. It's normal. And I think what you want to think about is you want to try to catch when you're using these distorted ways of thinking because they cause you to have exaggeratedly negative emotional reactions to situations that are often self-defeating, problematic, painful. The seventh type of cognitive distortion is called emotional reasoning. Emotional reasoning occurs when an individual substitutes their emotional reaction for reason. If they feel it, they think it's true. So someone might feel sad and think that they've got good reason to be sad. They might feel nervous and think that there's a good reason to be nervous. But sometimes a feeling is not really all that relevant, or a feeling is feelings are not a good guide to reality, is basically the point that emotional reasoning is bringing home to people. If I feel a certain way is north, but I pull out a compass and it tells me that it's a different direction, I'm going to go with the compass. We want to use reason to sort out what's real and what's not. Because just because I feel a certain way doesn't mean it's true. I might feel sad and feel like unworthy. You know, it's interesting. There is no feeling called unworthy. That's basically a judgment. Somebody says, I feel sad or I feel like I'm a bad person. Well, that's not a feeling. That's a way of thinking. I might feel anxious. I don't feel like something bad's going to happen. That's a thought. So emotional reasoning is when we basically interpret reality through our feelings rather than through reason and through actually an accurate description of what's happening. Emotional reasoning is involved often with depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder. When somebody has emotional reactions, but then they interpret those reactions as meaning something, I might just be depressed, not really worthless. I might not have done something to deserve feeling this way, or I don't necessarily feel anxious because I'm a freak. I might just feel anxious because I have a sensitive sympathetic nervous system. What are referred to as should statements. And this basically involves when you should on yourself or you try to use shoulds, you know, like saying I should do this, I should do that. Basically, when you use the term should, it's as if you're emotionally alienated from the good that you would get from doing something. So instead of saying should, like I should eat well, it's like I want to eat well would be a far better way of kind of looking at it. Or sometimes I'll pick on myself like I should have this or I should have that instead of just kind of dealing with the fact that I'm a human being, I make mistakes and things like that happen. The ninth type of cognitive distortion is called labeling and mislabeling. And basically what that involves is when you use derogatory terms or profanity to describe yourself or others. So if I'm thinking somebody's a jerk or I'm using swear words to define them, those words are powerful. Words like loser or fool, idiot, failure. These words are powerful words that involve both emotions and images. These words also involve thoughts. So if somebody thinks of themselves as a failure, that's a powerfully negative and judgmental way to look at oneself. And the images that you have of yourself or of others when you use these derogatory terms change how you see yourself. When someone's thinking they're a failure, it's like they're judging themselves and their life very negatively. The picture that they have of themselves in their mind is going to be unflattering, is going to be the negative pictures that they've had whenever they felt bad, or all of those doubts kind of get triggered when you use these powerful negative terms like loser, failure, idiot, or all of the profanity that we use to call ourselves names or call others names. You know, when you start to refer to somebody by a derogatory term, you're dehumanizing them. And they're no longer Bill or Tom or whomever it is that they are. They're now some kind of derogatory term. They're an idiot. I can't stand them. Or racial slurs, derogatory names. All of those things are examples of labeling and mislabeling. The 10th cognitive distortion is called personalization or errors in blaming. And basically, they blame themselves or they blame someone else for something that they're not really responsible for. So a child will sometimes think that it's their fault that their parents are arguing. And often that's not the case at all. Or I might blame myself because somebody didn't like me. It might be the other person's problem. If something didn't turn out, but it wasn't my fault, and I blame myself, then that's an example of personalization. One big thing that people can begin to learn when they learn about the role that their thinking plays in shaping how they feel is they can learn to basically stop judging and blaming themselves. I want to judge the behavior, not myself. So that behavior was worthless means that I'm going to attach my loathing to the behavior, which means I might be less likely to do it again. If I think I'm worthless, I'm more likely to make mistakes because I'm going to be discouraged and I'm going to be down. And I don't even see what the actual problem was, which was the pattern of thinking or behaving that led to the problem. I blame myself, and that's just counterproductive. So these are the 10 core negative thinking patterns or cognitive distortions that cognitive behavioral therapy has identified. And by monitoring your thinking, or whenever you find yourself being excessively upset about something, check to see if one or more of these 10 patterns aren't actually present.